Well, good morning, River Church. I hope you are well. I hope with this amazing craziness of a week and with COVID and you sitting in your stretchy pants at home listening to this with a cup of coffee, hopefully with your loved ones around you, I hope this finds you well. I really do. And we are in the middle of a collection of talks about the book of Ephesians. And I'm really excited about this. And as you probably can tell, and I just want to talk to you about a certain section of the book. So we spend about 2 weeks per chapter, and we're kind of at the end of chapter 3, but I get to do the end of 3 into the beginning of 4. And we've called this collection of talks Therefore, and it's based about one of these scriptures here, and it kind of flips the whole message in a really, really cool way. So what I'm going to do is to tell you a little bit about the book of Ephesians to kind of recap, and then we're going to go into the scripture together. So as we know, because we've gone into this letter, which is now a book so many different times, this was a letter that Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to the church in Ephesus. And unlike a lot of the other letters that we've turned into books that he's written, there wasn't necessarily some heresy or an error he was trying to fix here. This was written as a straight up encouragement to the church. And this wasn't written necessarily to us, obviously, at the River Church, but we can read and get so much out of this. And it was written for us. And if you let it, this book and this letter can transform your life because it points towards Jesus, who is the ultimate person who transforms us. So in the book, there are 6 chapters, but we can also break it down another way where there's kind of 2 halves. Chapter 1, 2, and 3 is a lot of looking inwardly and looking at the story that we find ourselves in. And then chapters 3, 4, and 5, after where it says therefore, is all about what do we do with that information. So if it's okay with you, I hope it is. We are going to put some of the scripture on the screen, and I actually would like you to read it out loud with me. We're going to do the same thing on Sunday morning in the River Church for those who can make it. And I think it's something really powerful when we read the scriptures together. I think it brings unity. I think it fosters humility. It declares truth, and it reminds us of the bigger story that we find ourselves in. So we're going to start in chapter 3, Ephesians, verse 12, and then go a little bit into chapter 4. So just follow along with me. So here you go, chapter 3, verse 12. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. When I think of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, that he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all of God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to fully understand. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish indefinitely more than we might think or ask. God, to him in the church and in Christ Jesus, through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Therefore, I, a prisoner serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, and just as you have been called into one glorious hope for the future, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. Amen. Man, I would find it so powerful if we just sat together for an hour reading scripture together. But let's break it down a little bit. It's really interesting that Paul, at the end of that, when he says, When I think of this, I fall to my knees. Why does he use knees? Because when Paul, especially, and other writers in scriptures use the word knees, it's meant to be a representation of submission. So when he says, I fall to my knees, he is overwhelmed with the love from the Lord to these people, that he falls on his knees in submission to Christ. It's something that I think we should look more into. And you see, he's in prison writing this letter to people he really cares about. And there's not much more he can do in prison apart from pray and write this letter. And this is the end of kind of the first chunk of Ephesians, chapter 1, 2, and 3. See, this is that part, chapter 1, 2, and 3, this is the insight. This is the heart prep. This is talking about the oneness in Christ, how we can become alive in Christ, and how spiritual formation happens from Christ within us. Therefore, it can come out. And there's something I wrote down in my journal earlier, and I want to kind of share it with you. God's plan for humanity is not to remove your humanity from you. It's actually to restore it. And a big part of that plan for you and me is found in the church. It's found in our unity. It's found in our love for one another. And that's not secondary in the kingdom of God. It's actually at the forefront. So when we come into a place like this, this is still in my journal, let's not play pretend church. Let's not keep peace underneath the surface and shallow. Let's not just put up with one another. Let's actually care for one another. And what would that look like? You see, I think sometimes when Paul is calling out us to love one another, we've heard that so much and we forgot what it's like. In this last week, we've seen many different things, and I think you'd agree with me that 2020 has no surprises anymore. It feels like every week is like, what's going to hit us in the face now? But I feel like he's asking us to love one another, yet some of us find it even difficult just to see what our friends have posted on Facebook, and we will no longer talk with them. And if that is the level that we're loving, I don't think that's loving at all. Actually, in 1 John chapter 4, and we preached about this many times, and it's been declared over this house, that in 1 John 4, when he describes that God is ultimately love and love is ultimately God, I think the way that he describes it is, you know you're living to the level of your loving, and you know you're loving to the level you're willing to live it out. And that we can't be like Christ in some places, that if we're going to act like Jesus, that it has to permeate all of our life, our social, our financial, our emotional, our family life, time at the dinner table, time at work, time even maybe asleep, that it has to engulf all of us, this love. And so much that Paul, the writer who wrote most of what we call now the New Testament, at one point in his life, he was not a follower of Christ. Actually, it was the reverse. He was going around persecuting and killing those who followed Christ and had an amazing transformation that happened just before he wrote this, years before he wrote this. So Paul knows what he's talking about because Paul has seen the other side. And then that beautiful moment at the beginning of chapter 4, which kind of brings it all together when he says, therefore. What he's saying is, you've just heard how you fit into the story, how all of humanity is there, all colors, all genders, all types of people. We are all united in Christ. And if we believe that, therefore, this is how we execute it. It's interesting because I feel like a lot of us know how we're meant to live in our heads, but we don't really know it necessarily with our hearts and our hands because it hasn't fully transformed us. And I think sometimes we just have to ask the Lord, we're going to let you, would you come in my life and would you transform me from the inside out? Paul, who wrote this book about 5 years before he wrote this letter to the people in Ephesus, he wrote the book, obviously letter then, of Romans. And in Romans 7, chapter 15, 14, 15, and 16, Paul describes in this letter how there is things in my life that I do want to do, but I don't do them. And the things I don't want to do, I do them. And I'm so confused sometimes with what to do and what not to do because my heart is broken. But the nice thing about this letter, it seems like 5 years after that, he describes how we can actually do it. And this is how he starts. He starts by saying, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. And who has called you? None other but Jesus himself. And then the first two things he asks of, he says, are you willing to be humble? And are you willing to be gentle? Humility first is how we love. Then gentleness will follow. It's like Paul knew the secret to this, that the spiritual growth and the formation of our spiritual life, something in that is going to be set into motion when we walk out with humility and we walk out with gentleness. It's no longer head knowledge in this book. From now on, for the next 6 or 7 weeks, what Paul is going to be doing is saying, therefore, you have learned this. Now it's time to actually do it. But the first way to do that is, can you walk in humbleness and can you be gentle? And then he goes, be patient with one another and allowing for each other's faults, like he already knew that we are going to mess up. And make every effort to bind yourself with the unity inside the church. I don't know about you, but I could do with a little bit of unity right now. I could do with a little bit of togetherness. It seems like everything we see and all the noise around us, everything is just trying to divide and divide and divide. And you know what people are looking for, especially in this country? They are looking for a group of people who will humble themselves, set apart from everyone else, who love each other desperately and are willing to lay their lives down and love one another. And I just want to declare that this is a place that we're trying and practicing the presence of Jesus, practicing to be humble, practicing to be patient, and allowing for when other people mess up, including ourselves. This isn't a message for them. This isn't a message for her or him. This is a message for you and me. This is a message and a declaration being like, am I willing to lay my life down humbly, allowing for the faults that will happen around me and loving, because our loving is equated with our living and our living shows how we love. Then he goes on in verse 4 and he says, for there is one body, one spirit. And he talks about the oneness who Christ, Father, and Holy Spirit is. The triune, the original community. And that when we understand who Jesus is and his place in the world, that he is king, Jesus is king, that we will understand how we do it. A couple days ago in youth group, we actually, in the middle of a collection of talks called Famous Three Words. And the famous three words, ironically, on election night, it wasn't really ironically, the three words were Jesus is king. He was, he is, and he always will be. He has a kingdom. He is the king, he is in charge, and that we get to know him. Lastly, in this, Paul is begging us that one of the things we can do to the level that we love and live with one another is unity. So as I finish this, I want to ask you, what does your unity look like in your collection? Are you bickering with one another? Are you allowing fault in others? Are you allowing fault in yourself? And are you using every effort to bind yourself together with one another to create unity? Over and over again, Paul says the same thing. He repeats it. And I had this quote from Dr. Chris Hall, who I listened to last week, and he said this. He says, repetition is the mother of all learning. And I think we need to learn something from Paul, that he repeats himself over and over again, that the unity we have one another is loving, and that loving will show in how we live. It's okay if I pray for you? Jesus, I want to thank you so much that the fact that we have this amazing book that we now call the Bible, that's got history and poetry and letters and instructions and law and history in this, and it's all put together for us to learn more about the nature and the character of who you are. Jesus, I know this book is transformational because it points towards you and you are transformational. We love you, and would you help us and would you give us the strength that we could bind ourselves together, that we won't play pretend church, but that we'll actually go out and love one another outside of these doors and within these doors so that we can fight for unity with one another. Jesus, we love you. We pray that we all have an amazing week, that we can see the positivity in this next week, and that we can learn to live lightly and freely through your teaching. We love you. Amen. Amen. Have a great week.